Imagine dropping like $80 on a single box of the most technologically advanced self-defense ammunition on Earth.
Right, which is a lot of money.
It is. And you load it into your magazine feeling incredibly secure. But what you don't realize is that if you actually have to use it, the heavy denim jacket your attacker is wearing might turn that expensive, highly engineered hollow point into, well, just a useless solid chunk of lead.
Yeah, which is a terrifying thought because it strips away all the flashy marketing and those tactical buzzwords.
Exactly. The reality of surviving a defensive encounter is incredibly unforgiving. Welcome to the deep dive, everyone.
It's an environment that really doesn't care about the cool logo on the box. It only cares about physics, fluid dynamics, and mechanical tolerances operating in literally fractions of a second.
Right. And today, our mission is unpacking an intelligence briefing. It's the Intel Devro 7 guide to the best pistol ammo brands for self-defense. But this specific brief is strictly tailored for South African buyers, and we're looking at it entirely through the lens of jacketed hollow point duty loads.
And we really have to emphasize that geographic context early on because reviewing ammunition for a consumer in, say, Ohio is a fundamentally different conversation than reviewing it for you if you're sitting in Johannesburg or Cape Town.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
The logistics completely change the definition of what makes a round the best. So, okay, let's unpack this. Choosing defensive ammo is essentially trying to solve a high-stakes engineering problem.
Right.
Think about it like choosing the brakes for your car. You don't just want the most expensive ceramic brakes with the brightest red calipers. You need the brake system that will perform flawlessly under your specific driving conditions. Like the exact millisecond a truck pulls out into your lane in the pouring rain.
That is such an apt way to look at it.
Yeah.
And the source document we're looking at hinges on three non-negotiable pillars. For a brand to even be considered in this briefing, it has to deliver consistent expansion, useful penetration, and real-world reliability.
Three pillars.
Right. If any single pillar fails, the entire system just collapses.
I want to dig into that balance between expansion and penetration first, because I think a lot of people assume, bigger is always better.
Yeah, that's a huge misconception.
But if a hollow point expands too quickly, acting like a giant parachute, the second it hits tissue, it slows down way too fast. It won't penetrate deep enough to reach vital organs and actually stop a threat.
Exactly. And then on the flip side, if it doesn't expand at all, it overpenetrates. And in a defensive context, overpenetration is just a massive liability.
Because it keeps going.
Right. If your round passes cleanly through an attacker, it hasn't transferred its kinetic energy to stop the threat. And worse, it is now traveling down the street toward innocent bystanders.
Which brings up the fluid dynamics. When a hollow point hits soft tissue, fluid is forced into the front cavity of the bullet. That hydraulic pressure pushes outward against the inside walls, forcing it to peel back and expand. But what happens when that cavity hits clothing first?
Well, that is the exact problem you mentioned in the beginning. Heavy clothing, especially layers of denim, leather, or fleece, can actually pack into that hollow cavity before the bullet ever hits fluid.
It just clogs it up.
Yep. When the cavity is plugged with fabric, there's no room for fluid to enter, so no hydraulic pressure is created, and the bullet acts just like a full metal jacket round. It punches a small hole and just keeps going.
Wow.
Overcoming that specific variable is where the top-tier engineering really comes in.
Which moves us into the heavy hitters of this intel guide. If we treat this as a pure engineering problem, there are a few names that absolutely dominate the conversation: Federal and Hornady. Specifically, Federal HST and Hornady Critical Defense and Critical Duty. The intel is clear that these aren't just legacy names, like, they own this tier for a very good reason.
What's fascinating here is why they sit at the top. The reason is relentless consistency. In a self-defense scenario, a round that performs perfectly 9 times out of 10 is a catastrophic failure on that 10th time.
Right, you can't have a 10% failure rate when your life is on the line.
Exactly. So Federal HST has mastered this skiving process. Those are the pre-cut lines on the bullet's jacket that tell it exactly where to fold.
Oh, the little notches you can see on the rim.
Yes. When an HST hits fluid, it peels back along those specific lines into this massive, perfect star shape. It displaces a tremendous amount of tissue while maintaining its momentum.
And Hornady takes a completely different mechanical approach to solve that heavy clothing problem we talked about. Right? They use a small polymer insert, like a little red tip, inside the hollow point cavity.
Yeah, and that polymer tip is just a brilliant piece of lateral thinking. By filling the cavity with polymer at the factory, they guarantee that heavy clothing can't clog it.
Because it's already full.
Exactly. When the bullet impacts, that polymer tip is driven backward into the lead core. It acts like a wedge to physically force the bullet open, regardless of what fabrics it just passed through.
That is so smart. So Hornady solves the soft barrier problem. But what about hard barriers? The intel highlights two other titans in this top tier, Speer Gold Dot and Winchester Ranger T-Series. Now, Speer is cited for its bonded core credibility, and Winchester is noted for an aggressive terminal reputation. I have to be honest, I read bonded core credibility, and it just sounds like marketing jargon designed to justify a higher price tag.
It really does sound like that.
Right. So what is actually happening inside that bullet?
It's not marketing, I promise. It's a solution to what we call the two-material problem. Traditionally, a bullet is a heavy lead core pressed inside a lighter copper jacket. They are two separate pieces of metal.
Okay.
The problem is, when that traditional bullet hits a hard, angled barrier like an automobile windshield or a heavy wooden door, the copper jacket and the lead core can physically rip apart from each other.
Because the glass essentially strips the jacket right off the lead.
Exactly. And when they separate, you lose mass. The bullet fragments unpredictably, it loses momentum, and it fails to penetrate the target behind the barrier.
It's bad.
Very bad. So what Speer does with the Gold Dot is utilize an electrochemical process to build the copper jacket onto the lead core, literally molecule by molecule.
Wait, really?
Yeah. They are bonded at an atomic level, meaning they act as a single unified piece of mass.
So it punches through the glass, stays completely intact, and still has the integrity to expand once it reaches the target. That explains why it's the gold standard for law enforcement. Because they frequently have to deal with shooting into or out of vehicles.
Right. Now look at the Winchester Ranger T-Series. You mentioned its aggressive reputation. Where Federal HST is designed to fold back smoothly and crush tissue, the Ranger T-Series is engineered to cut.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. The jacket is designed to peel back into six very sharp, pronounced metallic petals. They're often called talons. As that bullet rotates through soft tissue, those sharp edges slice, creating a much larger permanent wound cavity.
It's fascinating. You have four distinct brands, all successfully solving the exact same core physics problem, but using totally different engineering philosophies.
It really is incredible.
But even with molecular bonding, lead and copper still have different densities. Which naturally leads me to ask, if you want absolute 100% weight retention every single time, why not just eliminate the two material problem entirely?
And that is precisely the question Barnes asks, which brings us to their TAC XPD and TAC XP lines. These are all copper monolithic projectiles. There is no lead core and no copper jacket. It is just one solid piece of machined copper.
I have to push back here for a second, though. If traditional jacketed hollow points from Federal and Speer are already dominating the market and working incredibly well, why reinvent the wheel with an all-copper bullet? It feels a bit like a solution looking for a problem.
It might seem that way until you look at the extreme end of barrier blindness. Even a bonded core can lose a tiny fraction of its weight when smashing through heavy bone.
Okay, fair point.
Because a Barnes bullet is monolithic and because copper is significantly tougher than lead, these bullets simply do not shed weight. They retain virtually 100% of their mass every single time.
But copper is lighter than lead. If you make a bullet entirely out of copper, and it has to fit into the same size 9mm cartridge, it's going to weigh less. Doesn't less weight mean less momentum?
It does, which is why Barnes drives these all-copper bullets at much higher velocities. They use speed to make up for the lack of mass.
Yeah.
It's a highly specialized premium choice. It delivers exceptional penetration and expansion, but you are going to feel a snappier recoil impulse because of that higher velocity.
That makes sense. But let's step away from the bleeding edge of monolithic copper and bonded cores for a minute, because the Intel guide clearly carves out a mid-tier market. We are talking about Sig Sauer V-Crown and Remington Golden Sear.
Great, the mid-tier.
And here's where it gets really interesting. The source is very explicit that the lower part of this list is not just filler.
Yeah, in many consumer industries, the mid-tier is just the premium tier with the corners cut to save money. But that is not the doctrine here. These mid-tier options use traditional cup and core construction or brass jackets. They don't have the molecular bonding of a Speer Gold Dot, which means they might not perform perfectly if you have to shoot through an angled car windshield.
But how many civilian self-defense scenarios actually involve shooting through an auto glass windshield?
Statistically, very few. And that is the point. For a standard defensive encounter involving soft tissue and heavy clothing, the Sig Sauer V-Crown's modern cavity design and the Remington Golden Saber's proven geometry are highly effective.
So you aren't paying top dollar for barrier performance you likely won't need, but you're still getting a reliable, expanding defensive round.
Exactly.
Which brings up the economic reality of self-defense. Defensive ammunition is expensive, and a fundamental, non-negotiable rule of carrying a firearm is that you must practice with the exact ammunition you intend to carry. You need to know how it recoils, where it impacts on your sights, and if it feeds reliably.
Yes. If you can only afford to shoot one box of the ultra-premium Federal HST 1CL, your training is going to suffer. But if you can afford to train regularly with the Sig V-Crown or the Remington, that mid-tier option might actually make you a significantly more capable defender simply because you have the reps in.
I'm really glad you brought up the economics, because this is where we have to pivot to the geographical reality of this specific intelligence briefing. All of this abstract engineering, fluid dynamics, and molecular bonding is incredible, but this intel is tailored for the South African market.
Which changes everything.
It completely shifts the paradigm. Because what good is a perfectly engineered, bonded core projectile if it is sitting in a shipping container stuck at the port of Durban?
The best ballistic engineering in the world cannot bend space-time or international supply chains. In the context of the South African market, you are dealing with a volatile exchange rate between the rand and the dollar, severe import delays, and quotas. If an American-made premium round isn't physically on the shelf in your local gun shop, its terminal performance metrics are completely irrelevant.
The intel lists three specific rounds that speak directly to this logistical reality. We have Sellier and Bellow JHP, which is described as an accessible, budget-friendly entry point. We have PMP JHP, which has immense domestic relevance because it's locally manufactured by Pretoria Metal Pressings. And we have MagTech, offering a specialist defensive subsonic heavy load.
Let's unpack those.
Yeah, let's address the MagTech first, because subsonic heavy load sounds highly specific. Why would someone want a bullet that travels slower than the speed of sound for self-defense?
It comes back to the physics of momentum. A standard 9mm round is usually 115 or 124 grains, traveling at supersonic speeds, meaning it breaks the sound barrier, creating that sharp crack.
Right, the sonic boom.
Exactly. A subsonic heavy load is typically 147 grains. It is significantly heavier, but driven at a slower velocity, usually around 990 feet per second.
So it's a heavy, slow-moving freight train rather than a light, fast sports car.
Correct. The advantage is twofold. First, because it's subsonic, there is no sonic boom. That makes it much easier on the ears, particularly if fired indoors or if the user is running a suppressor.
That makes a lot of sense.
And second, that heavy mass retains its energy very well as it pushes deep into tissue. It offers highly reliable penetration without the snappy, aggressive recoil of a high-velocity lighter round.
Okay, now I have to ask the uncomfortable question regarding the other two options.
Yeah.
Sellier and Bellow and the local PMP. When human lives are on the line, are budget defensive options just a bad idea? Like, are we compromising safety to save a few rands?
If we connect this to the bigger picture, you have to look at it through the lens of liability and alternatives. Is a budget-friendly JHP going to perform as perfectly through heavy clothing as a Hornady critical duty? Probably not. Sometimes they might fail to expand.
Okay.
But compare that to the alternative, carrying full metal jacket target ammo.
Right, because if you can't afford or find premium hollow points, the temptation is just to load your magazine with cheap FMJ target rounds. But FMJ rounds are specifically designed to punch clean holes. They don't expand at all.
And that is where the liability skyrockets. If you shoot an attacker with an FMJ, the bullet will likely pass entirely through them, failing to transfer its energy to stop the threat, and continuing on to potentially strike a bystander.
That's a nightmare scenario.
It is. Even a budget hollow point like SMB or PMP is designed to dump its energy and stay inside the target. That mitigates your liability immensely.
Which is why the inclusion of PMP is so strategic. Having a domestic defensive reference completely insulates you from global supply chain chaos. If the rand tanks against the dollar, or if there's a massive backlog at the ports, imported premium ammunition might just disappear from the shelves for 6 months.
Exact.
But PMP is manufactured right in Pretoria. You know you can get it.
And that leads to the source's absolute golden rule. Availability still decides everything. The intel is incredibly blunt here. A slightly lower-ranked round, like a local PMP that you can actually source, afford, and validate on the range, is infinitely more useful than some mythical, perfect federal HST low that you never, ever see in stock.
It forces a mindset shift away from hunting for a unicorn
yeah.
and toward building a sustainable logistical plan.
Absolutely.
Okay, so we've solved the physics problem of how hollow points work. We've navigated the international supply chain and the reality of South African store shelves. But the deep dive isn't over, because we have to bring this all the way down to the final, uncompromising, absolute litmus test, your own handgun.
Because all the terminal ballistics data and supply chain logistics in the world crash into a brick wall the very second the ammunition is actually loaded into a magazine.
The Intel Guide issues a very strict warning about this. Brand ranking absolutely does not matter more than reliability in your specific pistol. Think about it like buying the world's most critically acclaimed, incredibly expensive, single-origin coffee beans.
Okay, I like where this is going.
You read the reviews, the experts say it's the pinnacle of coffee. You bring it home, you put it in your high-end espresso machine, and it jams the grinder. It clogs the filter. Doesn't matter how prestigious those beans are, if your specific machine won't run them, you aren't getting a cup of coffee.
It is the exact same mechanical reality with firearms. Handguns are mechanical devices with extremely tight idiosyncratic tolerances. You have feed ramp geometries, magazine follower angles, and recoil spring tensions.
All interacting at once.
Right. And these vary wildly from manufacturer to manufacturer, and even from gun to gun of the exact same model.
Right. If we look at the federal HST, we talk about how it has a massive hollow point cavity to displace fluid. But that wide, aggressive mouth might catch on a steep feed ramp, like you might find in some micro-compact pistols or older 1911s. And that can cause the gun to completely lock up and fail to feed.
Meanwhile, the Hornady round, with its little polymer tip, creates a much smoother, rounded profile that might glide right up that exact same steep feed ramp without a single issue.
So if you manage to track down that ultra-premium, highly rated Spear Gold dot, you pay the heavily inflated import price, you take it to the range, and your gun jams once in 50 rounds, what do?
You drop it from your shortlist immediately.
Mm-hmm.
No hesitation. The intel is definitive on this. Reliability in your handgun is the final gate. If it does not run flawlessly in your pistol, it cannot be your carry load. End of discussion.
Wow, so the rankings don't matter at that point.
The rankings we've discussed today are simply a decision aid. They tell you where to start looking, but they do not make the final decision for you. You, the user, make that decision on the firing line.
It really puts the responsibility squarely back on the listener. The engineers in America can build a molecularly bonded bullet. The logistics network can miraculously deliver it to South Africa. But you are the final quality control inspector.
That's exactly right.
So what does this all mean? We've covered a tremendous amount of ground today. From the fluid dynamics of hollow points expanding like parachutes to molecularly bonded cores and all copper projectiles, right down to the harsh economic realities of local supply chains and the mechanical geometries of feed ramps.
If we synthesize the core message of this intelligence briefing, it really comes down to a highly practical three-step filtering process.
Okay, he's here.
First, choose based on proven consistent performance. You need that delicate balance of expansion and penetration without over-penetrating. Second, filter that ideal choice through the reality of your local supply chain. In places like South Africa, your local economics and availability dictate your reality.
And third.
Take whatever survives those first two filters and run it through the ultimate crucible, which is your own firearm.
It is a supremely pragmatic approach to what is ultimately a life and death decision.
It is. And before we wrap up, I want to leave everyone listening with a final thought to mull over. Something that builds on this dynamic, but often goes completely unspoken in the defensive community.
Okay.
Consider the psychological trap of the perfect premium bullet. Let's say you manage to hunt down a single box of the highest rated, most expensive ammunition on this list in Johannesburg. You secure the unicorn.
Right.
But because it was so hard to find and it cost you an exorbitant amount of rand, you are terrified to shoot it. You keep it locked away in your magazine. You never practice with its specific recoil impulse. You never truly validate how it feeds from your spare magazines under stress.
Oh, I see where you're going with this.
Are those 50 rounds of premium ammo actually making you safer? Or are you, in reality, far less prepared than the person who bought a cheaper, locally made PMP round that they can afford to shoot, train with, and ruthlessly validate every single weekend?
That is a heavy question. It challenges the entire concept of what premium actually means in the real world. It reminds me of exactly where we started. You can buy the most expensive carbon ceramic brakes on the market, But if you are too afraid of wearing them out to ever take the car out and learn how hard you have to press the pedal to make them work, they aren't going to save you when that truck pulls out in the rain.
Absolutely.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into Intel 007. Take that thought with you, examine your own setup, and we'll see you next time.